The reading is from Luke 5, 1 to 11. And if you're following along in your pew Bible, you can find that on page 62 of the New Testament. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, and one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way out from shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. Praise be to God. Amen. Almighty God, please pray with me. Almighty God, in you are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Open our eyes that we may see the wonders of your word, and give us grace that we may clearly understand and freely choose the way of your wisdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today, we're going to be talking about being caretakers of creation, catchers of humankind. Many of us are familiar with this passage and this particular lesson that Jesus has to offer on the shores of Lake Gennesaret, also maybe familiar as the Sea of Galilee, in other words. Becoming fishers of men, or as I like to say, becoming fishers of humankind. There are so many takeaways from this simple scene. Moving past hesitation, trusting in Jesus. Having faith to lower those nets just one more time. The gravity of the difference between small, ephemeral blessings, the fish, and eternal blessings, growing in faith, taking action despite hesitation and fear, and a mindset shift from catching material goods to catching the human spirit by taking action and sharing the good news of faith, hope, and love. I think that this parable still has relevance today. Oftentimes, we find ourselves in boats with fishless nets. On a personal level, it may be in trying to keep up with the social or perceived pressures to have the latest and greatest tech, fashion, gear, or perhaps the nets are coming up empty when we try to find real connections, feel a sense of progress, or simply feel as though we are making a difference. On a larger global level, fishermen's nets are literally coming up empty, and the collective feeling of helplessness and hopelessness towards the health of the planet is nothing short of defeating. Without being overwhelmingly bleak on Children's Sunday, here are some more facts to consider about God's creation now. The 20th century's last two decades were the hottest in 400 years, and possibly the warmest for several millennia, according to a number of climate studies. 11 of the past 12 years are among the warmest since 1850. Coral reefs, which are highly sensitive to small changes in water temperature, suffered the worst bleaching, or die-off in response to stress, ever recorded in 1998, with some areas seeing bleaching rates of up to 70%. Experts say that these sorts of events will increase in frequency and intensity in the next 50 years as sea temperature rises. The massive floating island of plastic in the Pacific Ocean is now twice the size of Texas. Global sea rose about 8 inches in the last century, the rate in the last 2 decades. However, it is nearly double that of the last century and is accelerating slightly every single year. But this is just a sampling of the ecological and environmental crisis of God's creation. So how do we help? Where do we even begin? Is it even worth attempting to be catchers of humankind if there is no habitable creation in which to live, no worthwhile people to catch? Returning back to Luke 5 for a moment, we see Jesus leading with a directive to operate on faith. Here are a group of fishermen who know the lake and the habits of the fish inside and out. With large nets, fishing at night is preferable to the day because fish are less likely to see the nets or the disturbances they create on the surface of the water. The fishermen want to attract the fish as much as possible, and they will really take any advantage they can get. Yet here is Jesus encouraging them to let down their nets in broad daylight, nets visible and clear as day to the fish, the shadows created by the boat deterring the fish from approaching, with the added risk of embarrassment in front of the large crowd gathered on the shore if they do not catch any of these fish. But, sure enough, they let down the nets. God is calling us to take care of the environment. He's calling us to be stewards of his creation. In a time when it seems as though no amount of nets, nor Jesus-level miracles, can stop the burning of fossil fuels, the magnitude of floating plastic in the oceans, the rising of sea level, or the myriad other degradations to the planet, we must operate on faith. And as disciples of faith and love, we must act. But how? One of the things I love the most about working with youth is that they often seem to function entirely independently of the seeming paralysis of the adult world when it comes to imagining a different reality and chasing those big dreams. I continue to hear stories of children and youth who are concerned for the planet's future, who want to do something about the ever-worsening habitable state of the environment, and who are taking action. For example, take Adeline Tiffany Suwana. When Adeline was just 12, she became worried about the effects of natural disasters and flooding that strongly affected her native country, Indonesia. So she decided to take action. After learning that mangroves were the key to preventing damage done by flooding, the youth dedicated herself to mangrove conservation through the development of a community of young people called Sahabat Alam, which means friends of nature. Adeline's role in the organization is to manage groups of students who are planting coral reefs, helping with fish breeding and turtle protection, planting mangrove trees, and engaging the environmental cleanups and educational activities. Sahabat Alam also operates the Electric Generator Water Reel Project, which links isolated villages to the electric grid. Not only does this provide residents with much-needed power, it also allows them to improve their educational and healthcare facilities. What's more, only clean, renewable energy is used to generate this very electricity. Adeline's influence is vast. Her ideas have been presented in schools, in cooperation with governmental agencies, and have even led to the production of a television program on the subject. She was invited as a delegate to the United Nations Environment Program, to the 2009 Tunza International Children's Conference, and awarded the 2009 Action for Nature International Young Eco Hero Award for her efforts. Furthermore, in terms of being a fishers of humankind, Sahabat Alam, the group Adeline started, has grown to contain over 1,700 members throughout Indonesia. And now, Adeline's story comes across as pretty impressive. Where do we find the time to speak with groups of school children or plant mangrove trees or help with fish breeding and protection? How can we contribute significantly? I believe the answer is twofold. First, it is about shifting our mindset, hearing Jesus beckoning to let down our nets and breaking through that hesitation. In other words, go fishing. Adeline started by simply caring deeply. She was willing to go out into the lake in the middle of the day and cast nets, namely through her efforts to conserve mangrove forests. What small projects are right here in our community that we can initiate? Where can we care deeply and take action? Another story of youth in action. Youth in action. Enter Maya Penn. She launched her own eco-friendly accessory business called Maya's Ideas at the ridiculously young age of 8. And since then, Maya Penn has not only blogged about environmental issues, but she's given inspirational TED Talks about them too. Maya's Ideas have grown into a very successful business. And Maya donates 10 to 20% of her profits to environmental charities. Ever the entrepreneur, after she learned about the devastating environmental impact made by sanitary pads and tampons, Maya decided to launch another project focusing on making biodegradable sanitary pads. She would like to donate these to women in developing countries who often have to miss work or school when they are on their menstrual cycles. So not only will these pads have some positive impact on the environment, they will also play a role in allowing women to gain more working and more school days. Here's the most beautiful part of Maya's initiative to help care for creation. She is sharing her learning and her work with others. You can watch her TED Talk online, in which she shares her journey, her sustainability-minded business design of making eco-friendly products and ultimately improve the health of communities, and her philosophy of helping to save the planet by communicating directly to people's hearts. And this is the second part of contributing meaningfully, communicating from the heart to the heart. This is what Jesus is getting at when he speaks of being fishers of men, catchers of humankind. We need to seek the hearts of our family members, our neighbors, our congregation pew mates, our coworkers, and our classmates. We need to share with others that we are summoned by the King of Kings to act in small ways to care for creation. Jesus performed the majority of his miracles in nature, taught the majority of his teachings outside, and even used metaphors of nature to communicate his message in a way that would strike a chord in the hearts of those listening. Taking his example, we need to connect with kindred human spirits by acting in loving ways towards creation, just as much as we act in loving ways towards one another. The next part is where it becomes a little bit harder. What do we actually physically do about it? Jesus didn't exactly provide a 10-step plan on how to save creation, let alone become a fisher of humankind. However, herein lies the genius of his teachings. Each of us has varied and unique interests, passions, talents, skills, and connections in the community, and a special part to play in creation care. Maybe it's rallying people to bring in mugs for fellowship hour. Maybe it's breaking out the trusty trowel and planting some shrubs in the community or at home. Maybe it's going for a walk with a plastic bag and picking up whatever trash you come upon along the way. Or perhaps it's forming a group of people to carpool to church on Sundays. But let's dream a little bigger. How about appealing to the CEOs, directors, and/or executives at the company in which you work to invest in renewable energy or sustainable production? How about approaching the principal or superintendent with a plan to reduce food waste in the cafeteria at school? Or forming a group of people to educate and persuade the town council to offer more diverse recycling services in the town of Pleasantville? In a world of doubt, hesitation, and seemingly guaranteed defeat, the miraculous thing is that anyone can be a creation caretaker. Everyone can have an impact. As it is Black History Month, allow me to borrow some words from the Honorable Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. Everyone can be great, because everybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and your verb agree to serve. You don't have to know about Plato and Aristotle to serve. You don't have to know Einstein's theory of relativity to serve. You don't have to know the second theory of thermodynamics or physics to serve. You only need a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love. The other thing that Jesus provides us with in the classroom, the other thing that Jesus provides us with in the lesson for today is a promise of what we can expect as an outcome of being catchers of humankind. The delightfully surprising part is that there is a dual benefit or a win-win situation. One blessing that is short-term, aka the ephemeral blessings of the fish I mentioned earlier at the beginning, and another blessing that is long-term, also known as the eternal blessings of the growing in faith I mentioned earlier. Blessing number one, being a fisher of humankind means that we must love and care for one another in the environment. That, in and of itself, is a rewarding experience because it just feels good to be good to others. Additionally, it feels great to look back on working in the garden, dropping off those plastic bags to be recycled, or knowing that the solar panels we've invested in are contributing to the power to make this very service possible. Blessing number two. Spreading this invaluable work to others by educating people, working alongside one another, and or inviting others to be part of serving the needs of creation goes far beyond just our reach. When we engage others and they become part of the discipleship of creation care, that is God's work. That is the initiation of eternal blessings for God's people and for God's creation. In closing, I wish to leave you with a simple idea that encapsulates the essence of being a caretaker of creation, or a catcher and a catcher of humankind. Eco-justice proponent, American poet and novelist, environmental activist, cultural critic and farmer, Wendell Berry, writes, "In taking care of fellow creatures, we acknowledge that they belong to an order and a harmony of which we are ourselves are part. To answer to the perpetual crisis of our presence in this abounding and dangerous world, we have only one perpetual obligation, to care." If you'd like to learn more about eco-justice or get into more of the ways in which we can be proponents and activists towards this cultural and creation crisis, I've left another copy of the sermon I was going to give today that Debbie told me was a little too heavy into the principles and philosophies of how you can actually do this. I encourage you to pick up a copy, and I'm happy to email you a digital copy if we run out of copies in the back. It'll be right on the back table. Thank you so much, and we just bow our heads and pray. Lord, help us to be caretakers of creation and catchers of humankind. In your name we say, amen.